The text that calls for our attention this Lord's Day comes to us from the book of Deuteronomy in the 4th chapter. And it says this. It says, "For what, why, or what great nation is there that has a God so near unto them whenever they call upon him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and rules so righteous as all the law I set before you this day?" Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I remember as a young man in my youth group at church that occasionally we would get to go to larger youth festivals or youth retreats. But before we were let loose, so to speak, at any of those events, we were sat down and told what things were expected of us when entering into that new place. The rules were laid out, and the consequences of disobedience were discussed. We were told that if we would just simply follow those few rules that had been laid out, we would have a great time, and everyone would hold us and our church in high regard. I suppose when Moses began to speak his words to the children of Israel, which are recorded in Deuteronomy, it was that kind of talk. You see, the things that Moses was saying to the children of Israel were not new things or new laws, but they were being given to a whole new generation of Israelites, none of which had ever lived anywhere other than the wilderness. And so in the book of Deuteronomy, we find God, through Moses, instructing those young children of Israel what they were to do when they got to that new place called the Promised Land, that place that they were about to receive by God's grace. And these instructions that were given in the book of Deuteronomy also came with a promise. And today it is truly that promise that was given to those children that we want to focus on today in our thoughts. It is that promise that we hope today by God's grace to lay hold of ourselves. So what was this promise that God gave to those children? Well, God assured them, and he assures us, that his ways, his statutes, his commandments are righteous. And that in following them, we will have the good life that he desires for us. You see, indeed, God wanted them to know that in following his ways, they would have the very best life they could have. And this promise that God made to them went even further. He said not only if they followed God's command would they indeed have a better and more blessed life, but that also the nations that were all around them would see the wise ways in which they lived and might even admit it. Yes, God promises all of us that his commandments are where we find true wisdom. Yes, he promises that his ways are righteous, and that in following them, there is blessing. In other words, God's laws, you see, are not meant to take something from someone, but rather are meant to give someone everything. You see, his ways are righteous and good. And when we use a word like righteous, sometimes we can think that that's only something God would understand. What the Bible really means when it says that God's ways are righteous and that they are good is that they are not just good in some way that God understands, but good in the sense that they actually deliver to us the best way that we can live life on this earth. You see, it is so true that God's ways are wise and deliver the best life that can be lived here, that even those who do not know God, when they behold the people of God living this way, ultimately recognize the wisdom in such living. But I should be clear. that recognition by our culture of the wisdom of God's ways does not usually come immediately. In fact, generally, up front, our culture and our world that does not know God wars against the ways of living that God prescribes. Yes, many times they war against God, only later in life to see the wisdom that was there. But then again, I guess we shouldn't be so rough on those who are outside the faith, for the fact that they don't understand the wisdom of God, because all too often we, the very children of God, don't understand the wisdom and His commands either. Especially we don't understand them sometimes right away when He says them. Sometimes the things He calls us to seem downright crazy or unreasonable. Yes, it is only with faith and only by the aid of the Holy Spirit that you and I, when called by our shepherd to walk in a certain way, will actually follow. And in following, see time and time again that the places that God calls us to are places where there are green pastures and where there are still waters. Just a couple weeks ago, I was leading a Bible study for the LWML group here at church. And the topic for that day was modesty. Urged by a few people to consider bringing this topic to the pulpit someday, I realized as I was thinking this day that indeed the topic fits very well into this mold that we are talking about today. You see, God calls people, specifically in the book of Timothy, and calls especially women to dress with modesty. He says that they are ultimately to consider their good works more than they are to think about their good looks. Now, at first, in our world, this kind of call seems absolutely crazy and certainly not wise. In fact, to many young girls, especially, they hear this call, they believe that they are being called to a life where they will never be popular and they certainly won't ever land that guy of their dreams. You see, they become convinced by the culture that if they do not live in the ways of our culture, that they will never land a man, a husband, in this culture. And so they start wearing the fashions of the day, hoping that will do the trick. But the problem is that in our culture of today, the fashions of the day often mean short skirts and short shorts, tight tops and low-cut tops. That is the way of our culture. And to many of our young girls, it seems like the only wise way to fit in and to attract those they want to attract. And to an extent, they are right, that a girl in our culture dressing modestly will not get noticed as much as the other girls. But the good news is the people that they won't be getting noticed by are those men that are simply looking for a quick flash of flesh in order to fulfill some impure desire. And the better news is that God tells us that those who walk in modesty will be blessed. But you see, all too often those who dress immodestly end up living immodestly as well. And when one lives immodestly, it destroys the heart and the body. You see, God calls His women, His young girls, to dress with modesty, not because He wants to take something away from them, not because He wants them to be less than popular. He does it because He wants to give them something. He wants to give them their hearts and their bodies in purity, so that one day they can share that great blessing with the husband that God has called them to be with. So they can share those things in a way that doesn't have any lingering guilt or shame attached. Yes, God calls us to modesty to give us the good life. And in fact, as our text tells us, there are indeed many women who in their younger days did not dress with modesty, who have since learned the wisdom of doing so. Yes, God's commandments are indeed wise, and they bring blessing to all who will walk in them. Last week, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the largest Lutheran church body in America, voted to allow its members to speak of homosexuality as God-pleasing, and also chose to allow people living that lifestyle to be clergy or pastors in the church. As a result, we, those other Lutherans, now look to our world as more behind the times than ever. We look more judgmental than ever. We look to them more hateful than ever. So why is it that we in our church and in our church body would persist in teaching that homosexuality is sinful? Well, it's very simple. The commandments of God are consistently clear on this matter, from the first page of Scripture all the way until the end. Yes, we say these things because the Bible says time and time again that such behavior is indeed sinful, and that it does not give one a good life, but instead threatens to destroy their faith and life. Yes, we trust, even despite our warning, the warning of our culture against it, that continuing to stand firm with the commandments that God has laid out is indeed something that He will bless. And that it is something for good, it's something good for everyone that is involved. Well, let's be clear. We must do this work of standing firm with the same conviction we have about every other sin. Homosexuality is like every other sin in two very important facts. One, it stands in need of repentance. But secondly, that it is fully and completely forgivable because of the love of Christ. Yes, we do this work knowing that by standing firm, we are not trying to take something away from someone, but rather we are offering to them the very life that God wants them to have. Yes, we must do this even when our own affections would lead us to want to do otherwise. And while many in our culture right now despise those who stand up for God's traditional commandments about sexuality, we must also know if you and I will live in single purity and in pure marriage life as well, eventually many in our culture will understand the great wisdom in God's plan, the way He laid it out. For indeed, God's commandments are where we find our wisdom. Yes, we as God's people are to follow God's commands and trust that they lead us into good and pleasant places, and we are to do so even when our hearts cause us to question the goodness of God's ways. As many of you know, my wife Jamie this last week suffered a miscarriage, which we found out at the doctor this last week. And as ones who have simply tried in our life to allow God to have control over the planning of our family, it is easy this week to question the goodness and the wisdom of walking in those ways. And yet, we know that we must. We indeed know that we must continue to follow where God leads, because we have faith deep in our hearts that tells us that even though this week we don't understand, that God's ways are ultimately good and wise, and that they lead to blessing. You see, whatever the commandment of God is, His commandments ultimately take faith to walk in them. For you see, the wisdom that is evident there in His commandments is not always so evident to us, but it is always there. And so we as God's people are left constantly to sit and to call upon God for His help. And when we do so, He gives us that help. And it is through our dependence and God's provision for our needs that the world all around us not only learns of the goodness and wisdom of God's commands, but ultimately that they learn of the goodness and wisdom of God Himself. Moses says that if they watch us living in His ways, these people all around us will learn how near God is to us. And how near is God? Well, He is as near as a prayer that is offered. He is as near as the word that is opened. He is as near as a Sunday school lesson that is taught. He's as near as water that was poured on Rhett's head today. He's as near as bread that will be broken and wine that will be sipped next week by us. And all of this because He was as near as a babe in a manger, as near as a man on a cross, as near as a victor outside of the tomb. In God's commandments, we find our wisdom. In His commandments, we find our life. In His commandments, we find God Himself. And if we follow in these ways, we will have the good life that God wants us to have. And not only will we have that life, but others will see it and will begin to understand the wisdom of living that way. And then as the Spirit works in their heart, they will come to understand not only the wisdom of the commandments, but of the One who gives them. No, our wisdom does not come from books or articles. It does not come because we understand everything. It comes because we follow the Wise One, who has revealed wisdom to us in His Son, Jesus. So let us then walk in His ways and trust in His goodness. Women, dress with modesty. Lutherans, continue to hold to the Bible's clear teaching about sexuality. Jamie and I, by God's grace and with your encouragement, will follow even though our feet are dragging a little today. And when you don't follow, or when I don't follow, then let us fall again at the feet of the Wise One. For the Wise One died that our foolishness might be wiped away and replaced with His wisdom. Yes, Jesus indeed is the Wise One. He is our wisdom. May we be made eternally wise by Him. Amen.